Chapter 23. The last page scrolled across the display and stopped.
Search summary ended. Next request?
Cancel,
Leia said, leaning back in her desk chair and looking out the window. Another dead end. Just like the last one, and the one before that. It was beginning to look like the research librarians had been right. If there was any information on the old Clone Wars cloning techniques still in the old Senate library, it was buried away so deeply that no one would ever find it. Across the room, she caught a flicker of returning consciousness. Standing up, she crossed to the crib and looked down on her children. Jason was indeed awake, cooing to himself and making a serious effort to study his fingers. Beside him, Jaina was still asleep, her pudgy lips hanging open just enough to whistle softly with every breath.
Hi there,
Leia murmured to her son, picking him up out of the crib and cradling him in her arms. He looked up at her, his fingers momentarily forgotten, and smiled his wonderful toothless smile.
Well, thank you,
she said, smiling back and caressing his cheek.
Come on, let's go see what's happening out in the big world.
She carried him to the window. Beneath them, the Imperial City was in full mid-morning mayhem, with ground vehicles and airspeeders buzzing along in all directions like frantic insects. Beyond the city, the snow-tipped peaks of the Mineri Mountains to the south were dazzling in the morning sunshine. Beyond the mountains, the sky was a deep and cloudless blue. And beyond the sky, she shivered. Beyond the sky was the planetary energy shield, and the Empire's invisible deadly asteroids. Jason gurgled. Leia looked back down at him, found him studying her with what she could almost imagine to be concern.
It's all right,
she assured him, holding him a little closer and bouncing him gently in her arms.
It's all right. We'll find them all and get rid of them. Don't you worry.
Behind her, the door opened and Winter came into the room, a hover tray floating along in front of her.
Your Highness,
she greeted Leia in a soft voice.
I thought you might like some refreshment.
Yes, I would. Thank you,
Leia said, sniffing at the gentle aroma of spiced paricha rising from the pot on the tray.
Anything happening downstairs?
Nothing interesting,
Winter said, pushing the tray over to a side table and starting to unload it.
The search teams haven't found any new asteroids since yesterday morning. I understand General Belleblis has been suggesting they may already have cleared them all out.
I doubt Admiral Drayson believes that.
No,
Winter agreed, holding out a steaming mug and waiting as Leia shifted Jason to a one-armed grip.
Neither does Mon Mothma.
Leia nodded as she accepted the mug. To be honest, she didn't really believe it herself. No matter how expensive these cloaking shields might be to produce, she couldn't see the Empire going to this much trouble for anything fewer than 70 cloaked asteroids. And there could easily be twice that many. The 21 they'd found hardly even scratched the surface.
How's the research going?
Winter asked, pouring a mug for herself.
It's not,
Leia had to admit. From one insoluble problem to another, it seemed.
Though I don't know why that should surprise me. The Council research specialists have already been all through the records, and they didn't find anything.
But you're a Jedi,
Winter reminded her.
You have the Force.
Not enough of it, apparently,
Leia shook her head.
At least not enough to guide me to the right archive. If there is a right archive. I'm not sure anymore that there is.
For a minute they sipped in silence. Leia savored the soft flavor of the hot paricha, acutely aware that this could easily be her last taste of it for a while. All supplies of the route from which the drink was made had to be imported from off-planet.
I was talking to Mobvikar yesterday,
Winter said into her thoughts.
He said you'd spoken to him about a clue of some sort. Something that Mara Jade had said?
Something that Mara said, coupled with something Luke did,
Leia nodded.
Yes, I remember. And I still think there's an important key in there somewhere. I just can't figure out what it is.
At her waist, her comlink beeped.
I knew it couldn't last,
Leia sighed, putting her mug down and pulling the comlink out. Mon Mothma had promised her a complete morning off. Obviously, that promise was about to be bent a little.
Counselor Organa Solo,
she said into the device. But it wasn't Mon Mothma.
Counselor, this is Central Communications,
a brisk military voice said.
There's a civilian freighter called the Wild Card holding position just outside the sentry line. The captain insists on speaking with you personally. Do you want to talk to him, or shall we just go ahead and chase him out of the system?
So Card had finally come to pick up his people, or else had been listening to rumors and had decided to poke around Coruscant a little for himself. Either way, it was trouble.
Better let me talk to him,
she told the controller.
Yes, Counselor.
There was a quiet click.
Hello, Card,
Leia said.
This is Leia Organa Solo.
Hello, Counselor.
Card's cool, well-modulated voice replied.
It's nice to talk to you again. I trust you received my package.
Leia had to think back.
Right, the macrobinocular record of the Yukio attack. Yes, we did,
she acknowledged.
Allow me to express the New Republic's gratitude.
Well, your gratitude has already been amply expressed. Were there any unpleasant repercussions over the payment arrangements?
On the contrary,
Leia said, bending the truth only a bit.
We'd be happy to pay equivalent rates for more information of that quality.
I'm glad to hear that. Are you, by any chance, also in the market for technology?
Leia blinked. It wasn't a question she'd been expecting.
What sort of technology?
She asked.
The semi-rare sort. Why don't you give me clearance to come down and we'll discuss it?
I'm afraid that won't be possible. All non-essential traffic in and out of Coruscant has been restricted.
Only the non-essential traffic?
Leia grimaced. So he had been listening to rumors.
What exactly have you heard?
Assorted whispers only. Only one of which really concerns me. Tell me about Mara.
What about Mara?
Leia asked guardedly.
Is she under arrest?
Leia threw a look at Winter.
Card, this isn't something we should be discussing.
Don't give me that.
Card cut her off, his voice suddenly hard.
You owe me. More to the point, you owe her.
I'm aware of that,
Leia countered, letting her own voice cool a degree or two.
If you'll let me finish, this isn't something we should be discussing on an open channel.
Ah, I see.
If he was feeling any embarrassment over his mistake, it didn't show in his voice.
Let's try this. Is Ghent available?
He's around somewhere.
Find him, and get him on a terminal with comm system access. Tell him to program in one of my personal encrypt codes. His choice. That should give us enough privacy.
Leia thought about it. It should at least filter out casual eavesdropping by other civilian ships in the system. Whether any Imperial probe droids lurking out there would be fooled was another question.
It's a start, at least,
she agreed.
I'll go find him.
I'll be waiting.
The signal went silent.
Trouble?
Winter asked.
Probably,
Leia said. She looked down at Jason. A strange tingling in the back of her mind.
There it was again. The eerie feeling that a vital piece of information was hovering in the darkness just out of reach.
Luke and Mara were involved with it, she'd already decided.
Could Card be involved too? He's come to plead Mara's case, and I don't think he's going to be happy to find her gone. Take care of the twins, please. I have to find Ghent and get down to the war room.
The data checklist ran to the end and stopped.
Looks okay,
Ghent told Leia, peering at the display and making one final adjustment to the encrypt scheme.
You're not going to lose more than a syllable here or there anyway. Go ahead.
Just be careful what you say,
Bell Iblis reminded her.
There could still be probe droids out there listening in. And there's no guarantee the Imperials haven't broken Card's encrypt codes. Don't say anything they don't already know.
I understand.
Leia nodded. She sat down and tapped the switch the comm officer indicated.
We're ready here, Card.
So am I.
Card's voice came back. It sounded a bit lower in pitch than normal, but otherwise seemed to be coming through fine.
Why is Mara under arrest?
There was a break-in by an Imperial Commando team a few weeks ago,
Leia said, choosing her words carefully.
The leader of the team implicated Mara as an accomplice.
That's absurd.
I agree, but an accusation like that has to be investigated.
And what have your investigators discovered?
What some of us already knew. That she was once a member of the Emperor's personal staff.
Is that why you're still holding her? For things she might or might not have done years ago?
We're not worried about her past,
Leia said, starting to sweat a little. She hated misleading Card this way, particularly after all the assistance he'd given them. But if there were probe droids listening, she needed to make it look like Mara was still under suspicion.
Certain members of the Council and High Command are concerned about her current loyalties.
Then those members are fools. I'd like to talk with her.
I'm afraid that's impossible. She's not being allowed access to external communications.
There was a faint sound from the speaker. An encrypt glitch, or a sigh. Leia couldn't tell which.
Tell me why I can't land. I've heard the rumors. Tell me the truth.
Leia looked up at Bel Iblis. There was a sour look on his face. But he gave a reluctant nod.
The truth is we're under siege. The Grand Admiral's placed a large number of cloaked asteroids into orbit around Coruscant. We don't know what their orbits are, or even how many of them there are. Until we find and destroy all of them, the planetary shield has to stay up.
Indeed. Interesting. I'd heard about the Empire's hit and fade, but there hasn't been anything at all about any asteroids. Most of the rumors have suggested merely that you'd suffered severe damage and were trying to cover it up.
That sounds like the sort of story Thrawn would circulate,
Bel Iblis growled.
A little jab at our morale to keep him amused between attacks.
He's adept at all aspects of warfare,
Card agreed. But to Leia's ear, there was something odd in his tone.
How many of these asteroids have you found so far? I presume you've been looking.
We found and destroyed 21,
she told him.
That's 22 gone, counting the one the Imperials destroyed to keep us from capturing it. But our battle data indicates he could have launched as many as 287.
Card was silent a moment.
That's still not all that many for the volume of space involved. I'd be willing to risk coming through it.
We're not worried about you, Bel Iblis put in. We're thinking of what would happen to Coruscant if a 40-meter asteroid got through the shield and hit the surface.
I could make it in through a 5-second gap.
We're not opening one, Leia said firmly. I'm sorry.
There was another faint sound from the speaker.
In that case, I suppose I have no choice but to make a deal. You said earlier that you'd be willing to pay for information. Very well. I have something you need. My price is a few minutes with Mara.
Leia frowned up at Bel Iblis, got an equally puzzled look in return. Whatever Card was angling for, it wasn't obvious to him either. What was obvious was that she couldn't very well promise to let him talk to Mara.
I can't make any promises,
she told him.
Tell me what the information is, and I'll try to be fair.
There was a moment of silence as he thought it over.
I suppose that's the best offer I'm going to get. All right. You can lower your shield any time now. The asteroids are all gone.
Leia stared at the speaker.
What?
You heard me. They're gone. Thrawn left you 22. You've destroyed 22. The siege is over.
How do you know? Bel Iblis asked.
I was at the Bibringi shipyard shortly before the Empire's hit and fade attack. We observed a group of 22 asteroids being worked on under close security. At the time, of course, we didn't know what the Empire was doing with them.
Did you make any records while you were there?
Bel Iblis asked.
I have the wildcard sensor data. If you're ready, I'll drop it to you.
Go ahead.
The data feed light went on, and Leia looked up at the master visual display. It was the inside of the Bilbringi shipyards, all right. She recognized it from New Republic surveillance flights. And there, in the center, surrounded by support craft and maintenance-suited workers...
He's right,
Bilibus murmured.
22 of them.
That doesn't prove there aren't any more, sir, the officer at the sensor console pointed out. They could have put together another group at Ord Trassi or Yaga Minor.
No.
Bilibus shook his head.
Aside from the logistics problems involved, I can't imagine Thrawn spreading his cloaking technology around more than he has to. The last thing he can afford would be for us to get our hands on a working model.
Or even a systems readout. If you found a weakness, one of the chief advantages over you would be gone. All right, I've delivered on my end of the deal. How about yours?
Leia looked at Bilibus helplessly.
Why do you want to talk with her?
The general asked.
If it matters, one of the hardest parts of being locked up is the feeling that you've been deserted. I imagine Mara's feeling that. I know I did when I was Thrawn's unwilling guest aboard the Chimera. I want to let her know, in person, that she hasn't been forgotten.
Leia?
Bilibus murmured.
What do we do?
Leia stared at the general, hearing his words but not really registering them. There it was, right in front of her. The key she'd been searching for. Card's imprisonment aboard the Chimera.
Leia?
Bilibus repeated, frowning.
I heard you,
she said, the words sounding distant and mechanical in her ears.
Let him land.
Bilibus threw a glance at the deck officer.
Perhaps we should...
I said let him land! Leia snapped with more fire than she'd intended. Suddenly, all the pieces had fallen into place, and the picture they formed was one of potential disaster. I'll take responsibility. For a moment, Bilibus studied her face.
Guard, this is Bilibus, he said slowly. We'll give you your 5-second opening. Stand by for landing instructions.
Thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
Bilibus gestured to the deck officer, who nodded and got busy.
All right, Leia,
he said, turning back to her.
What's going on?
Leia took a deep breath.
It's the cloning, Garm. I know how Thrawn's growing them so fast.
The whole war room had gone dead quiet.
Tell me,
Bilibus said.
It's the Force,
she told him. It was so obvious, so utterly obvious, and yet she'd missed it completely.
Don't you see? When you make an exact duplicate of a sentient being, there's a natural resonance or something set up through the Force between that duplicate and the original. That's what warps the mind of a clone that's been grown too fast. There's not enough time for the mind to adapt to the pressure on it. It can't adjust, so it breaks.
All right,
Bilibus said dubiously.
How is it Thrawn's getting around that problem?
It's very simple,
Leia said, a shiver running through her.
He's using Isla Mari to block the Force away from the cloning tanks.
Bilibus's face went rigid. Across the silent war room, someone swore softly.
It was Card's rescue from the Chimera that was the key,
Leia went on.
Mara told me that the Empire had taken 5,000 or 6,000 Isla Mari out of the forests on Merkur. But they weren't loading them onto their warships, because when she and Luke went after Card, Luke had no problem using the Force.
Because the Isla Mari were on Wayland.
Bilibus nodded. He looked sharply at Leia, the texture of his sense abruptly changing.
Which means that when the team gets to the mountain...
Luke will be helpless.
Leia nodded, her throat tight.
And he won't even suspect it until it's too late.
She shivered again. The dream she'd had the night of the Imperial attack suddenly coming back to her. Luke and Mara facing a crazed Jedi. And another unknown threat. She'd soothed herself at the time with the knowledge that Luke would be able to sense Sabaoth's presence on Wayland and take steps to avoid him. But with the Isla Mari there, he might walk right into the other's hands. No, would walk into Sabaoth's hands. Somehow at this instant, she knew that he would. What she'd seen that night hadn't been a dream, but a Jedi vision.
I'll talk to Mon Mothma,
Belleblus was saying, his face grim.
Even with Bilbringi, maybe we can shake some ships loose to go to their assistance.
Turning, he headed quickly toward the exit and the turbolifts beyond it. For a moment, Leia watched him, listening as the war room broke its self-imposed trance and came slowly back to life. He'd try, she knew, but she also knew that he would fail. Mon Mothma, Commander Sesvan, and Belleblus himself had already said it. There simply weren't enough resources available to hit both Wayland and the Bilbringi shipyards at the same time. And she knew all too well that not everyone on the Council would believe that the threat of cloaked asteroids had ended. At least not enough to call off the Bilbringi attack. Which meant there was exactly one person left who could go to the aid of her husband and brother. Taking a deep breath, Leia headed off after Belleblus. There was a great deal she had to do before Card arrived. There were three of them waiting when Card emerged from the ship, skulking beneath the canopy overhanging the pad accessway tunnel. Card spotted them from the top of the wild card's entrance ramp, and despite the shadows, had two of them identified before he was halfway down. Leia Organa Solo was there, with Ghent fidgeting behind her. The third figure, standing behind both of the others, was short and wore the coarse brown robe of a Jawa. What a desert scavenger was doing there, Card couldn't guess, but as the group stepped out of the shadows toward him, and he got his first good look at Organa Solo's face, it became clear that he was about to find out.
Good morning, Counselor,
he greeted her, inclining his head slightly.
Good to see you, Ghent. I trust you've been making yourself useful.
I suppose so,
Ghent said, shifting nervously from one foot to the other. Far too nervously even for him.
They say so, anyway.
Good.
Card shifted his attention to the third of the party.
And your friend is...
I am Mobikar, Clan Hakar,
a gravelly voice mewed. Card resisted the urge to take half a step backward. Whatever it was hiding under that robe, it most certainly wasn't a Jawa.
He's my bodyguard,
Organa Solo said.
Ah.
With an effort, Card pulled his eyes away from whatever it was being concealed by the dark hood.
Well,
he said, waving a hand toward the accessway.
Shall we go?
Organa Solo shook her head.
Mara's not here.
Card threw a look at Ghent, who was looking even more uncomfortable.
You told me she was.
I only agreed with you that she'd been arrested,
Organa Solo said.
I couldn't say anything more than... There may have been Imperial probe droids listening in.
With an effort, Card fought down his annoyance. They were all on the same side here, after all.
Where is she?
On a planet called Wayland,
Organa Solo said.
Along with Luke and Han and some others.
Wayland?
Card couldn't recall ever hearing of that world before.
And what's on Wayland that they find so interesting?
He asked.
Grand Admiral Thrawn's cloning facility.
Card stared at her.
You found it?
We didn't,
Organa Solo said.
Mara did.
Card nodded mechanically. So they'd found the cloning facility on their own. All that work he'd put in organizing the other smuggler groups, gone, like dumped Kessel spice. The work, the risk, not to mention the money he'd planned to pay them with.
You're certain the cloning facility is there?
We'll find out soon enough,
Organa Solo said, gesturing to the ship behind him.
I need you to take me there, right away.
Why?
Because the expedition's in danger,
Organa Solo said.
They may not know it yet, but they are. And if they're still on the timetable we were sent, we have a chance of getting to them before it's too late.
She told me all about it on the way up here,
Ghent added hesitantly.
I think we ought to...
He trailed off as Card sent a look his way.
I sympathize with your people, Counselor, he said. But there are other matters that also need my attention.
Then you abandon Mara,
Organa Solo reminded him.
I have no particular feelings for Mara,
Card countered.
She's a member of my organization, nothing more.
Isn't that enough?
For a moment, Card gazed at her. She held his gaze evenly, calling his bluff, and in her eyes he could see that she knew perfectly well that it was a bluff. He couldn't simply walk away and abandon Mara to her death, any more than he could abandon Aves or Duncan or Chin. Not if there was anything he could do to prevent it.
"It's not that easy," he said quietly. "I have responsibilities to the rest of my people as well. At the moment, they're preparing to launch a raid with the hope of obtaining a crystal gravfield trap to sell you."
A flicker of surprise flashed across Organa Solo's face.
"A crystal gravfield trap?"
"It's not the one you're trying for," Card assured her. "But we've scheduled it for the same time, hoping your attack will distract the enemy. I need to be there."
"I see,"
Organa Solo murmured, apparently deciding to pass over the question of how Card could have known about the Tan Green raid.
"Will the wild card make all that much difference in that raid?"
Card looked at Ghent. It wouldn't make any difference at all. Not with Mazik and Elor and the others reinforcing the impressive group Aves had already pulled together. The problem was that if they left now, and the way Organa Solo was talking, she meant for him to turn around and head straight back into space. There wouldn't be any chance of turning Ghent loose on the New Republic's computer system and rerouting the funds he needed to pay the other groups. Unless he could get the money another way.
"It can't be done," he told Organa Solo firmly. "I can't simply walk out on my people. At least, not without..."
Abruptly, the Jawa-robed alien snapped his fingers. Card paused in mid-sentence, watching in fascination as the creature slipped noiselessly back into the accessway tunnel, a slender knife appearing somehow in his hand. He disappeared through the door, and for a moment there was silence. Card raised his eyebrows at Organa Solo, got a slight shrug in return. There was a sudden squeal from inside the accessway door, followed by a sudden flurry of half-visible commotion. Card found his blaster in his hand, and he was bringing it to bear on the figures when all the activity abruptly stopped. A moment later, the alien reappeared, forcing a half-crouched figure before him. An all-too-familiar figure.
"Well, well," Card said, lowering his blaster but not holstering it. "Counselor Phalia, I believe. Reduced to eavesdropping at doorways."
"He is unarmed,"
the robed alien said in his gravelly voice.
"Release him, then,"
Organa Solo said. The alien complied. Phalia straightened up, his fur rippling madly across his head and torso as he tried to salvage what he could of his composure.
"I protest this improper treatment,"
he said, his voice somewhat less melodious than the Bothan norm.
"And I was not eavesdropping. General Bel Iblis informed me of Counselor Organa Solo's revelation concerning the cloning facility on Wayland. I came here, Captain Card, to urge you to assist Counselor Organa Solo in her wish to go to Wayland."
Card smiled tightly.
"Where she would be conveniently out of your way. Thank you, but I believe we've already been through this together."
The Bothan drew himself up.
"This is not about politics. Without her warning, the team on Wayland may not survive. And without their survival, the Emperor's storehouse may not be destroyed before the Grand Admiral can remove some of its contents to a safe place."
His violet eyes locked with cards.
"And that would be a disaster. To both the Bothan people and to the galaxy."
For a moment, Card studied him, wondering what was there that Phalia was so worried about. Some weapon or technology that Thrawn hadn't found yet? Or was it more personal than that? Unpleasant or embarrassing information, perhaps, either about Phalia or the Bothan people generally. He didn't know, and he suspected Phalia wouldn't tell. But the particulars didn't really matter.
"Potential disasters to the Bothan people don't worry me," he told Phalia. "How much do they worry you?"
There was an uncertain ripple of the fur across Phalia's shoulders.
"It would be a disaster for the galaxy as well."
"So you said," Card agreed. "I repeat, how much does it worry you?"
And this time Phalia got it. His eyes narrowed, his fur rippling with obvious contempt.
"How much worry will it take?"
he demanded.
"Nothing unreasonable," Card assured him.
Merely a credit of, say, 70,000.
70,000?
Felia echoed, aghast.
What exactly do you think?
That's my price, Counselor. Card caught him off. Take it or leave it. And if Counselor Organa Solo is correct, we don't have time for any long discussions. Felia hissed like an angry predator.
You're no better than a foul mercenary,
he snarled, his voice about as vicious as Card had ever heard a Bothan get.
You drain out the lifeblood of the Bothan people!
Spare me the lecture, Counselor,
Card said.
Yes or no?
Felia hissed again.
Yes.
Good.
Card nodded, looking at Organa Solo.
Is the credit line your brother set up for me still there?
Yes,
she said.
General Bel Iblis knows how to access it.
You can deposit the 70,000 there, Card told Felia. And bear in mind that we'll be stopping to check on it before we reach Wayland, in case you had any thoughts about backing out.
I am honorable, smuggler,
Felia snarled.
Unlike others present.
I'm glad to hear that,
Card said.
Honorable beings are so difficult to find. Counselor Organa Solo?
She took a deep breath.
I'm ready,
she said. They were off Coruscant and nearly ready for the jump to lightspeed before Leia finally asked the question she'd worried about since coming aboard.
Are we really going to stop and check on Phalia's funds?
With time as critical as you suggest,
Card countered.
Don't be silly. But Phalia doesn't know that.
Leia watched him for a moment as he handled the wild card's helm.
The money's not really important to you, is it?
Don't believe that either,
he advised her coolly.
I have certain obligations to meet. If Phalia hadn't been willing to cooperate, your new republic would have had to do so.
I see,
Leia murmured. He must have heard something in her voice.
I mean that,
he insisted, throwing a brief and entirely unconvincing scowl at her.
I'm here because it suits my purposes, not for the sake of your war.
I said I understood,
Leia agreed, smiling privately to herself. The words were different, but the look on Card's face was almost identical.
Look, I ain't in this for your revolution, and I'm not in it for you, princess. I expect to be well paid. I'm in it for the money.
Han had said that to her after that stormy escape from the first Death Star. At the time, she'd believed it. Her smile faded. He and Luke had saved her life then. She wondered if she'd be in time now to save theirs.